It's Sal Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
On WGR.
Sal Capaccio in a moment here on the Western Hotline as the Bills and the Panthers will face off tomorrow at 1 o'clock, Kids Day, at Highmark Stadium. And I think they're going to get another good weather game.
I believe so.
All right,
looking beautiful.
Sun will be out Saturday at 1 o'clock. Sal Capaccio now on the Western Hotline. Good morning, Sal.
Morning, guys. How are you?
Pretty good. The Panthers tomorrow, preseason finale. And we'll get to what's going to be on the line in this game for different individuals down the roster as we're only a couple of days away from 53-man roster cuts. I wanted to start, though, with you on the trade in the league that happened yesterday. We touched on it last segment. Jahan Dotson from Philadelphia or goes to Philadelphia for a third, and then Washington has to give a fifth also. Is that an idea that you saw and went, all right, that would have made some sense for the Bills, or did you kind of bypass that and think, I think they're okay, or they're all set with what their current room is?
I think anytime you see a player that has kind of the pedigree of Jahan Dotson get traded, considering the Bills' situation at wide receiver, you can't help but go to, oh, that could have been something that could fit.
Mm-hmm.
But let's kind of take a deeper look at it. Is he really any better than what they have right now? Like, where would he fit? It would just be another guy on the team to me. Mm-hmm. You would be banking on potential. You would be banking on, okay, this was a first-round pick from a couple of years ago that we think can be really good for us. It just hasn't happened where he's been. I mean, in a lot of ways, I don't know. He's better overall probably than what he's been, but it's kind of like Kyrie Elam getting traded. You know what I mean?
Mm.
Like, somebody who trades for Kyrie Elam might be doing it because they say, he hasn't worked in Buffalo, but it will work for us.
Yeah.
I don't really know what I want to do with that, right? It's not, he went, you bring Jahan Dotson here. I don't think Jahan Dotson really cracks the top three, top four maybe even.
Yeah, I like the player. Like, I think they could have got, that would have ended up happening eventually. But you're right on, you're kind of betting on, you're betting on him to be better than what he showed so far. It almost feels like Elam for Dotson. Like, a week ago, if we had brought up Dotson, like, oh, I wonder what kind of trade, what could look like there? Why not swap Elam for Dotson? Straight up. Two disappointing first-round picks that everyone thinks are still pretty talented. Maybe in a different system you'd get better out of. I'm not crisis mode because they didn't trade for this player. I do wonder, though, going into next week, Sal, and we have the preseason game tomorrow, maybe things could change, but when cut-down day happens around the league, do you expect the Bills to still be looking at receivers specifically? Corey Davis last week was worked out. I don't know. Do you think they'll still want to add to their room?
Yeah, because I just think that they're in the mind of the mind to look everywhere right now, right? I mean, this isn't the same team as the last few years where they've kind of really set at pretty much every position. And yeah, you might have a tweak here, a tweak there. I think they're kind of open to anything right now. Anywhere around the roster that can help them, I wouldn't be surprised. Specifically wide receiver, if they're like targeting it, I wouldn't say that, Joe. But I would leave the door open for anything to kind of happen here. The other thing about that trade you just brought up, I mean, I still think, isn't it wild to think that Jahan Dotson, a first-round pick of 2 years ago, what did they get for him? What was the trade? Tell it to me again.
A fifth for a third.
Yeah, it's Dotson and a fifth for a third and like a seventh or something like that.
I have to be honest, like, people might not like the trade, but how did the Bills get a second-round pick for a 30-year-old wide receiver in Stephon Diggs?
Yeah.
Whose contract was voided.
Right? It's kind of weird, right?
Yeah. Well, for 1 year of Diggs, right? Is what Houston's getting out of it, is only 1 year of Diggs. That's true. It's not that different. The fifth-round pick going back even is the same, right? It's just a second in the Diggs case instead of a third with the Dotson case. The second could be high, though, right? Especially looking at Minnesota's schedule and the quarterback situation, so the only one can only hope.
I mean, when he was traded, it wasn't 1 year of Diggs. They readjusted his contract, right?
Right.
But they probably knew that they would do that anyway. So you're right. I mean, we'll just take this player for a year. My point is, though, like, here you have a wide receiver. Mm-hmm. They trade him in the division, which, by the way, should be a more premium cost when you
Agreed.
Do that, right?
Yeah.
Which also was part of this, holy cow, should be a more premium cost in the division. And they wind up getting really less for him than the Bills got for a 30-year-old Stephon Diggs. And I just think, like, a second-round pick, that's just kind of crazy to me to think about what these trades have gone for. So, yeah. I wouldn't be upset for, mm-hmm. if anybody is that the Bills, you know, didn't trade for Jahan Dotson, because I don't know if he's really any different than what they have, to be quite honest with you.
Sal Capaccio on the Western Hotline. So, okay, Sal, for tomorrow's game, do we give any further indication about who might play? I think we kind of know who won't, right? Like, there's the list of injured guys who are going to be weeks or are week to week. Like safety, for instance. Yeah. We talked about in the first segment, we had a caller call and ask, like, okay, are there any starting jobs that are still on the line? And I mentioned safety, but there's nobody that's kind of battling there that you'd expect to play tomorrow.
For starters, no, I agree with you. I think that the players at safety are battling for a roster spot probably, right? And now you even have Terrell Burgess, who strained his hamstring, who didn't practice yesterday. Now we'll see, was it something they just kind of kept him out for a day? They put him out there. That would be an opportunity for him because he's trying to make the roster. Kareem Jackson, these two veterans that they signed late in training camp or in training camp, you know, fighting to make the roster. D. Delaney, Kendall Williamson, I expect to get a lot of time tomorrow. Those are probably the four guys you're looking at. What else? I mean, I'm still wondering. I don't know. To answer your question, like, do we have an indication of who will play? I'm not sure, because I think of a guy like Cam Lewis. Like, Cam Lewis is a regular player now. He's going to be, right now, he's been starting at safety, basically, because you have the injuries. But does he go in the bucket of starters who don't play? Or does he go in the bucket of, well, he's a guy that plays a lot, but he's really not a starter, and we kind of need him out there? I'm not really sure how you do all that. I'd expect to see a lot of the younger guys, Daquan Hardy, Ta'Cory Couch, Kenny I. Lovely. Like, those guys probably are going to play a lot. You know, on the defensive side, and then on the offensive side, probably your offensive lineman, Keaton Bills, Gunnar mm-hmm. Britton, those guys. I'm sure Richard Garage. You don't have Will Clapp. He's in concussion protocol. He could clear, I guess, but he's a veteran too. But those are the guys that I expect to really get some time.
Running back tomorrow, Sal, I'm interested to see what we're going to get at the bottom end of the roster. But I don't know. Like, is running back simple to you? We haven't talked a lot about that position from, like, a 53-man roster perspective, because, again, maybe there's not a lot to figure out. James Cook, Ty Johnson, Ray Davis. Do you think, is it tough to know because of the differences in the return game, how many might make it, if it's going to be three, or if it's four, who might be able to sneak their way on?
As far as tomorrow is concerned, I do wonder how they do. I would think you wouldn't really play Ray Davis that much. We know you're not going to play James Cook, but Ray Davis looks like he's your main number two, right? So that gives Ty Johnson an opportunity to kind of solidify a spot, because I think Ty Johnson is pretty firmly right now your number three, but it doesn't have to be. Because if Darrington Evans goes out there and has one heck of a game, he can do a lot of the things Ty Johnson can do. So maybe you have a battle there. To me, he's got to catch up, though. He's got to pass him. I think it's Cook, Davis, Johnson, and then there's a gap, and then it's Darrington Evans and Frank Gore Jr. My real only question is, do you keep both of them on your practice squad, or do you have to choose between one? And if that's the case, do you choose the younger guy in Frank Gore Jr. or the guy, Darrington Evans, who, you know, you've seen before and he's done some things in the NFL? That's really what it comes down to for running back for me. I kind of don't think that you're going to supplant the top three unless something mm-hmm. A were to happen to Ty Johnson, or they really just see Darrington Evans and say, look, we don't want to release him like we did last year, and then he, you know, another team goes and picks him up and he, you know, has some time. I think the top three they have are probably who they roll with.
Sal, if you had to bet on, like, an over under number of players that end up on the 53-man roster on, like, Wednesday that maybe aren't currently here, would you like handicap that at, like, is it one guy, maybe it's two or three? And you know, I guess basically what I'm asking is, are there players currently on other rosters that the Bills might look to add after cut down that aren't here right now?
It's a really good question. I woke up this morning wondering I was going to ask you guys a question. I thought about this. I thought we could have some fun too. It's just the same question you're asking a different way. Do the Bills make a trade at all? Right? Like you know what I mean? Like, I'm wondering if that, because to your question, Nate, there's ways to do this. You could either trade for somebody, or you could sign somebody who's released, or you could claim somebody who's waived.
Yep.
Right? I feel like every year they at least grab somebody in some capacity. So I'm going to say over under this year. How about 2.5?
I think that's a good number.
It's a healthy number. I mean, really, because I kind of like that, because to make a trade, maybe I would bet yes that they make some sort of deal.
Even if it's a smaller depth.
Oh, yeah. Like that like Jordan Phillips got traded earlier in the week. Yeah. By the way, speaking of which, another in NFC East trade.
In division
trade.
Okay,
there.
He went from New York to Dallas. So it's like, it was a low one, like 7th for a 6th, you know, type of trade. The guy that might not make one team and another team wants him, so why don't we just do a little real small deal?
Is it, Sal, to you, is it offensive line that you think maybe is like the one position you might say is your Bills? Is we have a lot of guys that we think could have value, could be on rosters. We just don't have the numbers at offensive line. They're deep, and maybe one of their fringe guys could either fetch them, even if they just trade him for a draft pick, instead of just letting a guy walk, they know he's not getting to the practice squad sort of thing.
I'd say so, Nate. Yeah, probably. I think that looks like the most, the fullest group where you'd have a chance for that. I wonder about D-line. I wonder how they're going to have their numbers at D-line, because I think there's a lot of guys there that you have to decide from, and maybe there's someone. Remember a few years ago they traded Darryl Bam Johnston, and then a couple years ago after that it's Boogie Basham. Like you guys just said, Jordan freaking Phillips went for a trade, right? I mean, at this point in his career. So you wonder, does that indicate that there's some value on the D-line? And who would that be? I'm not sure. I'm just kind of wondering if there's somebody there that somebody might you know, like as well. So I would say those, the two lines are, to me, probably the two areas where if you're going to move someone off your team, maybe those two spots would be the two spots you would look at.
I had that position written down to get to with you. Sal Capaccio on the Western Hotline. I want to talk about the Panthers, too, and their plans for tomorrow and just kind of where they're at. But defensive line, Sal, do you have a number off the top of your head for like what might be normal for what the Bills would keep? And for tomorrow, I mean, if the starters don't play, I'm assuming no Rousseau, no Ed Oliver, Epinesa, Daquan Jones maybe also. I know there's other veterans there. But who is battling for spots? And it feels like that's a position where I'm looking at the list of names and thinking, there's probably somebody that doesn't make it where you're going to go, wow, I wonder, you know, like Kingsley Jonathan or Deshaun Williams or, you know, I can't, Javon Solomon, I mean, he was a 5th-round pick, right? They're not going to do that, maybe? You tell me.
I think about this a lot. I look at that group and say, I don't know who's in or who's out because, okay, well, we know who's in. Von Miller, Greg, let's start with end. Okay, let me rewind. I think, Joe, they generally would like to keep 9. Okay, so you're probably talking 5 of one, 4 of the other.
Okay.
Okay, now you could keep 10, and that's possible, certainly, but let's just roll with 9. Typically, most years, I think they go 8 or maybe 9, so let's go 9 because I think they're a little heavy and a little deeper there this year. So what does that 9 look like? You going 5 ends and 4 tackles?
I think you have to
going
do that,
5
right?
tackles and 4 ends?
I think you have to do
What's
5
that?
Ends. I think you, right, because of Von Miller.
It's a good point. Yeah, probably. You're right, because Von's not going to be a every down player all the time, right? So you're going to have to use him in that regard. So it's a good point, Nate. Right. So let's go Miller, Rousseau, Epinesa, are 3. Smoot's making the team. That's 4. Mm-hmm. You might have to choose between Kingsley Jonathan and Javon Solomon. And, man, I love Kingsley Jonathan. He's a Syracuse guy, and he's played really well. I just wonder how that works, because are you going to keep 6? Now they can. They can, because you could literally – here's how I could do it. I would not be surprised if you go 6 and 4, because Juwan Smoot, plays inside as well, right?
Okay.
So if you go Oliver, Daquan Jones, Austin Johnson, Dwayne Carter, because between Austin Johnson, Deshaun Williams, they keep them both of them? Not really sure. I'd probably lean Johnson there. So Oliver, Jones, Johnson, Carter, that's 4 D tackles. You'd have 5 ends, Miller, Rousseau, Epinesa, Kingsley Jonathan and Javon Solomon, and then you keep Juwan Smoot because he's a flexible guy and he can count as a 5th defensive tackle if you want.
Yeah, I like that. Rousseau also has been able to do that too, but I wonder, they might be done with that just because they're relying on him so much this year. It's funny, breaking down that position, it really is maybe their deepest position. I like Kingsley Jonathan a lot. Like the pass rush win rate stats from last year, he was second on the team behind Rousseau. Limited snaps, but he was good in that regard. We didn't even mention Casey Tuhill, who had 5 sacks last year and started 8 games. Although he's been...
Oh my God, you're right. I didn't either. And he's back practicing, and okay. I think that they like Casey Tuhill, but it might be a question of, hey, you know, they really haven't...
he's missed time.
Seen a lot of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so maybe it's too little too late, given what else they have at the position. So, all right, defensive line. Definitely keeping that in mind for tomorrow and as we head into Tuesday. Sal, I want to check in real quick on Kyrie Elam with you, because when we were at St. John Fisher, it felt like we were bringing him up every day. And that hasn't happened, at least with me as of late. I mean, I'm not watching practice as obviously like I was those weeks. Has it cooled the Elam hype for you? Is he still having a strong camp leading into the regular season? Where do you think we're kind of just settled in here where he's the third guy, or maybe he's even competing still to be the third guy? Where do you think we are with Elam as we go into preseason game number 3?
Yeah, I mean, he's definitely either 3 or 4, right? I just don't think there's anyone behind him. He's not slipping down to 5. So as long as he's in that top 4, he's a contributor. He can be on the field. He can be, you know, a backup player. I actually wonder if Jamarcus Ingram's passed him. And that doesn't have to be because of anything of Kyrie Elam. I think it's because Jamarcus Ingram just keeps stacking and stacking and stacking and getting better and better and better. And they love his game and, you know, his athleticism and his length. But I don't know if it doesn't have to be right, though. It could still be Kyrie Elam first in that pecking order until you're super comfortable with Jamarcus Ingram, who's you know, only had very limited time, obviously. That said... Has the hype cooled? Like, I guess, because, you know, we did talk about how really well he's playing. I don't think it's anything, though, that, oh my God, it's not a precipitous drop. You know what I mean? It's just more of, I think he's settled into, he's not battling for one of the top 2. He's not battling Christian Benford anymore, right? Maybe we thought that at one point, Joe. Like, that's not happening. It's going to be Rasul Douglas and Christian Benford. I think it's really more of, is he your number 3 or is he your number 4? And not for nothing, Daquan Hardy, I think, has entered this mix. But Daquan Hardy, to me, is really more of a break glass in case of emergency guy. We really kind of like him to return punts, and we can use him on defense if we need to use him. He's been trained outside. You know, nobody thought that would happen when he was drafted. It was a totally slot guy, 5'9", 180. He's super small. I mean, every time we looked up at training camp, he's playing outside. And I think he might have played outside against the Steelers, if I remember right. So yeah. I think that they like having him there, and that's just a little more insurance. If you have Cam Lewis and everybody's healthy in the secondary, you don't have to have him inside anyway because Cam Lewis is your nickel. So, you know, might as well give him a little look somewhere else. To me, that's what it looks like. Now, I'm not counting Taron Johnson, obviously, but to me, it's Benford and Douglas, and then it's Elam and Ingram. But however that winds up shaking out is the question.
Sal Capaccio on the Western Hotline. All right, Sal, tomorrow's opponent, 1 o'clock against the Carolina Panthers. They're playing their starters, right? Like, that's what their head coach said. So maybe that'll be an interesting dynamic. It'll be the Bills' backups against the Panthers' starters. Although, I mean, you know, insert joke here about the Panthers, Sal. I mean, it's not a team where you might fear their starters that much in the first place or even worry about it because it's the preseason.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how much they're going to play, but he did say that they're going to play. The plan is to play them. And the reason for that is, from what I understand, is they have not been able to play Bryce Young this preseason because of injuries on the offense. And now that they're a little more healthy, they want to get him some reps. Mm. You know, so you're missing a couple of linemen. You don't want to put Bryce Young behind, you know, backup linemen, essentially, right? And now, okay, we have our line. We have people healthy, skill position. I think they just want to get some reps with their healthy guys because they're finally all healthy. I think that's why they're doing it. It's not necessarily for, you know, reason of like and performance. They need to see more. They have a younger team. They have a new head coach. Mm-hmm. He also said he wants to get them in the routine of a 1 o'clock. He said that we have a lot of 1 o'clock starts. It's a really good chance to go on the road, have a 1 o'clock start, go through our routine with everybody, get everybody acclimated to what that looks like. And you guys know, I mean, maybe people might think and roll their eyes and say there's no value, but coaches believe there's value in that, right? McDermott's big on that, right? Go through the routine of what you're going to do on game day. So that's why they're going to play their starters. I don't know how long, but I'm excited because I want to see some of these Bills backups and guys fighting for jobs go against some of the Panthers starters for even a series or two.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I like probably many Bills fans, like I'm excited to see Joe Andreessen tomorrow again and see can he keep being a story. And if he plays well again tomorrow, you know, maybe that'll be what it takes for him to make the 53. Did you say earlier in the week, maybe with us, that you think he might have the leg up right now anyways to make the roster?
I just feel like he does because of what he's done the last week or so.
Yeah.
And the fact that there's a little bit of everything here, which is the way he's played, obviously, right? You're not in this position unless you play that way. No doubt. The way he's played is first and foremost. But guys, I just think that the word is kind of out on him and the league, which is Brandon Bean would have to, if Brandon Bean felt, hey, listen, we're going to move on and we're going to keep Baylen Spector and Nicholas Morrow and Eddie LaFoscio, well, he can't then say to me, it feels like he might say, well, we'll get him on the practice squad. I don't know if that's possible now. And that's because I think that what he's done on film has allowed other teams to say, hey, if that guy gets waived, we're claiming him. There are 31 other teams. All it takes is one team to claim you. And he's gone. That's where, to me, like it becomes a little tricky. Because even if you really think that, okay, he's not quite ready, we got these guys ahead of him, you know that you're not getting him back probably. Now, maybe I'm totally wrong in that. Maybe I'm misreading it. It's possible that we're sitting here on Tuesday, he gets released, and on Wednesday he's back in the practice squad because no one claimed him. I'd be surprised right now, but I could be totally wrong on that. And hey, then you say, you know what? Brandon Bean called it right. I look at Baylen Spector. He has just not been able to get healthy. He was doing a little bit more off to the side yesterday than he had been. Like, is he a guy that you could say, you know what? We're just going to put him on IR for 4 weeks. That gives us a chance to put Joe on the team and give him a really more true evaluation on a 53 as we go through this. Mm-hmm. Nicholas Morrow. He's a 29-year-old veteran. He's played in this league. But is that a guy that teams are clamoring for if you release him? Like, can you get him back? I think that's the tricky balance that you have to have here. And if Joe Andreessen goes out and has any sort of performance tomorrow like he did last week, I think it even just ups that ante more for Brandon Bean and how he has to treat this.
Sal Capaccio on the West Her Hotline. Bills are off today from practice, right? Or no?
Yes, they are off. I mean, they might have a walkthrough or something. There's no media availability.
Okay.
You know, like that. And by the way, real quick, by the way, guys, sure. I heard you guys talking about this yesterday, and I heard, I saw some people still online talking about this, about the Andreessen story. Like, it's important to note that, like, he had looks before coming to Buffalo.
Okay.
Like, he went to the Chiefs camp the day before he was in Buffalo. He tried out for the Kansas City Chiefs. They brought him in.
Okay.
It's not like, hey, here's this really cool story. He's from Buffalo. He went to Lancaster. Let's just bring him in because it sounds cool.
Yeah.
Like, people knew about him already, right? Like, I know that, you know, it's hard. I read some people talking about this and, like, the same thing I'm talking about with the practice squad. It's not just what he put on film now. Like, he was hoping to get drafted. He had pre-draft visits, I think, or at least he met with teams, you know, things in some capacity. So it's not like he just appeared out of thin air for the rest of the teams. And that's why I say I just don't know if you can get him back, because not only that, but now he's coupled that with what he's done in the preseason.
Okay, good point. I'm reading about that now, that he was in Kansas City right before, and I didn't realize that. So
yes.
Right, because we were trying to figure out, like, if the Bills hadn't given him a shot, would the league have missed him? Because I think I even heard you and Bulldog talking about this the other day. It's almost weird that he didn't even get an undrafted contract with his athletic profile being what it is.
Priority UDFA, he never was signed. And my only guess is, and I haven't talked to anybody really to figure this out, and at some point when this is all said and done, I'm sure I will, but my guess is, I mean, it's just the level of competition, right? I mean, it's great. And, you know, you went to UB for a year, but playing at Bryant University at that position, you know, even no matter what numbers you put up, I just don't know if that's something that people thought that he could do in the NFL. So I'm guessing that's the case, but he did have some looks, and teams knew who he was, and he was hoping to make a roster.
Sal Capaccio on the Western Hotline. All right, thanks, Sal. We'll hear from you later on in tomorrow.
All right, you got it, guys.
We will come back with a new favorite in the division because I might have a rant brewing. I might have a rant brewing.
Interesting.
I just can't believe we're really buying in on the Jets. We're not really buying in on the Jets, but people are really buying in on the Jets. Let's get to that when we come back. The Jets are now the favorite to win the AFC East. We'll react when we come back here on WGR.
At the end of the day, I feel like I'm better than Patrick Mahomes because of my IQ of the game. I know he's right now the best in the league. I know he's more accurate. I know he has all these intangibles. But when it comes to flag football, I feel like I know more than him.
That is the quarterback of the U.S. flag football team.
Bills need a backup, just saying.
He is claiming that he... Okay, he's talking about the flag football Olympics in 2028, right? This is maybe a very natural comment, right? Like, he probably feels threatened that his job is... He thinks he's going to the Olympics, right? And these guys are about to come take his job. These NFL quarterbacks. He says, at the end of the day, I feel like I'm better than Patrick Mahomes because of my IQ of the game. So he's talking about flag football. Ridiculous?
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Insane. Just, yeah. Yeah.
Should they put NFL quarterbacks at the Olympics? Should they take this guy's job away, if you will? Should they steal his Olympic dream in 4 years? I think they're gonna.
I don't think they are.
I think the NFL is trying to... They're clearly... I mean, now they're scouting Australia for regular season games.
I don't think they're gonna have NFL players out there risking injury.
What about recently retired NFL players?
Maybe.
I think they're trying to grow the game. And how are they going to grow the game? They're going to want to send big names to the Olympics. So, okay, maybe they won't send Mahomes, but would they send a recently retired Russell Wilson?
Ugh.
But you know what I mean?
You have to remember.
Are they going to send DeAndre Hopkins, who's recently retired?
Flag football's a different thing.
Yeah, okay.
It's a different game.
Hold on a second. That's the same thing that I heard from people about the 3-on-3 in the Olympics. And are you telling me that they couldn't have done better than Jimmer Fredette at the 3-on-3 Olympics? The U.S. got bodied at the 3-on-3 basketball.
They did get bodied.
If they had sent Jaylen Brown, that wouldn't have gone better?
But basketball, you're still playing on a hoop with a three-point line.
This is still, you're throwing a football.
The field is smaller.
Okay.
Significantly smaller. They do like weird throwback moves. Like there's,
okay.
You know, like it's, there is.
You can practice that.
There is a, I think, legitimate strategy to that level of flag football that is just, it's not, you're not going out there and running I formation. Like,
right.
Or running out there and running standard concepts. There's a little bit of artistry to flag football at the level that they're playing it. And do I think that whoever this kid is better than any professional football players, any professional team's first, second, third, or practice squad quarterback? Absolutely not. But I think I'm pretty sure they're pretty good.
Yeah, no, he's definitely great.
But the U.S. team's good.
He's definitely great at it. But by the way, would Mahomes be the guy? Wouldn't Lamar Jackson be the guy that you would want as the flag football quarterback?
Probably.
I think you'd want Lamar Jackson. Because the guy's also got to play defense.
Right.
So give me the best Josh athlete Allen. Possible.
Yeah. I don't want him there.
Well, that not, you know, from a non-Buffalo
if the pads were on.
If I knew for sure contact, everyone would stay healthy.
If it was full contact, it's Josh Allen. Just have Josh Allen out there running over dudes.
I think there is no running over dudes, right?
That's what I'm saying.
I think it's Lamar.
That's Lamar.
Yeah. Lamar. No one's catching the flag. Allen might be second.
Well, you need more finesse because you can't.
That's why
hit
I'd want
somebody.
That's why I'd want Lamar.
Yeah.
Yeah, Lamar is.
I don't know if Allen has the finesse on defense anyway.
Yeah.
Or
I
would.
I would just pick the fastest guys I could pick imaginable from the NFL. So anyways, no, this kid is not better than Patrick Mahomes. That's an insane take by him, I think. But again, I think maybe his Olympic dream feels threatened at the moment. Jody Biasi, Nate Geary here on WGR. So if you go to FanDuel Sportsbook, if you go to DraftKings, if you go to a lot of the major books now, this has changed in the last week or so. The Bills, for I think like the first time in 5 years this morning, are no longer the favorites to win their division. Going into a year, there were, of course, times last year, in fact, half the season last year, where the Dolphins were favored because, why, they had a three-game lead that they blew. But they had one, so they were favored then. But before a season, I can't remember, I think it was 5 years ago, the last time the Bills weren't the favorite. This morning, they are no longer the favorite. The New York Jets are your current favorites to win the AFC East. And I guess I get it on some level. Their roster is more talented than the Bills. I don't doubt that, right? They have more star players around their roster than the Bills do. The Bills have good corners, but do they have Sauce Gardner? The Bills have, they hope, good receivers, but do they have Garrett Wilson? CJ Mosley, right? Like they've got star players all around the roster. They're talented. I just cannot get to them keeping it all together with a 40-year-old quarterback less than a year removed from a torn Achilles. Especially one that I pointed this out on Twitter in the last couple minutes. The last time he played in the league for Green Bay, he was 26th in the NFL in QBR. He was not MVP Aaron Rodgers the last time we saw him. He was middle of the road at best the last time we saw him. And if you look at the natural age progression of quarterbacks, other than Tom Brady, who is an anomaly, that's when it ends. Peyton Manning versus Aaron Rodgers in QBR. If you look at their age disintegration, at 37 years old, where do they rank in QBR? Rodgers first, Manning second. At 38 years old, Rodgers first, Manning third. At 39 years old, Manning 26th, Rodgers 26th. Then what happened? Manning said, oh, I'm done. I can't play anymore.
Yeah, he was cooked.
What did Rodgers do? I'm going to go to the Jets. Then he snapped his Achilles.
In three plays, yeah.
And now he's going to come back from that at 40, which no one other than Brady has really done. And that isn't even to mention all the drama, the sideshow that the Jets are. Like, are they going to stay focused for an entire year and not just eat each other alive in that locker room? I don't think it gets to that point because I don't think they're going to stay healthy enough for that. Their line is injury prone, and their quarterback is a 40-year-old behind an injury prone line that just had a torn Achilles. I don't think they make it. I don't think they make it to the whole season with Rodgers as their quarterback.
It's not even the Rodgers aspect to me. It's that I don't think they have a good coaching staff. I think they've got a hard schedule.
Okay. I don't like their offensive coordinator, I can tell you that.
Yeah.
Don't trust Nathaniel Hackett. They tried to replace him, by the way, this offseason. That's out there. They tried to replace him and couldn't this offseason with the guy they wanted. So they just said, all right, we'll just keep going. And by the way, like, I don't think they're a horrible team. I think their defense is great. I think their defense is great. I think they have a true number one wide receiver. I don't really like, and I think they have a great running back, but that only gets me so far. Like, Wilson is awesome. And honestly, this is more talking about the division. If Rodgers were to get injured again, which I think is likely, they have Tyrod.
Yep. Which they is have a better than what they had last year.
Yeah. They have a better floor than what they had last year. Like, honestly, even if Tyrod had to play 7-8 games this year, I think the Jets are still competing for a playoff spot. I don't think they're a joke like last year, but I don't think they're winning 11-12 games and winning the AFC East.
Right. Right.
So I am not picking them at all. Are they more of a threat than the Dolphins are?
Yes.
I might get there.
Yeah.
I might get there. But it's kind of why, like, it's hard for me to be real pessimistic about the Bills. Even though I don't like their receiver room and I think there are a lot of holes on the roster, I just don't trust either of the other teams that are competing with the Bills in the AFC East. I don't trust them at all. The Jets are loaded. They're talented. I know, but they're the Jets.
Yeah.
They're the Jets. And that's the coaching staff, like you mentioned. It's the quarterback's health.
It's a legitimate point, is that they're the Jets. That's not that's not being funny. It's that they're the Jets. It is also
funny. Yeah, but
it just happens to be funny.
Right. Rodgers. Here is a list of quarterbacks that had a higher QBR than Aaron Rodgers in the last season he played. 2 years ago, he put the whole year in with Green Bay. Higher QBR than Rodgers that year. Matt Ryan with the Colts. Andy Dalton. Kenny Pickett. Marcus Mariota. Jacoby Brissett. Geno Smith. Ryan Tannehill. Jimmy Garoppolo. Justin Fields. Daniel Jones. Kirk Cousins. 45-year-old Tom Brady. Kyler Murray. Derek Carr. And 11 others. That's the list. They all had a better QBR than Rodgers. QBR is not the end-all, be-all, I know. But look at his game log that year. What did Green Bay realize he had become? He was a game manager.
Mm-hmm.
His games in the second half of that year. Listen to week 12 on. By the way, isn't this kind of what happened with Manning? Was that final year, it was, the end of the year was even worse. Because now that he had the bruising and the soreness and everything was building up.
And the cold, it was tough.
The cold, yep. Rodgers in those final six games of that year in Green Bay, where they missed the playoffs on the final day of the season, by the way. Look at how much of a game manager he became. Here were his games. 11 of 16, 140 yards, 2 touchdowns, 2 picks. That's a game manager game. 18 of 31, 182 yards and 1 touchdown. That's a game manager game. 22 of 30, 229, 1 touchdown, 1 pick. Right? The next one, 24 of 38, 238, 1 touchdown, 1 pick.
That's Mr. Checkdown.
Yep. 15 of 24, 159, 1 touchdown. And then finally, the last game of that year, they needed to win to make the playoffs. And what did he do? 17 of 27, 205 yards, 1 touchdown, 1 pick.
Yep.
That's a game manager.
Yeah.
Which I understand. That is an upgrade for the Jets. But is
that's
it
not
a,
winning you a Super Bowl.
But is
though.
It a five-game upgrade?
And because your defense has to be so good for that to be a viable Super Bowl threat. Your defense has to be historic.
Yeah.
And even when they are, you need your quarterback, like the Kansas City Chiefs did last year in the playoffs in big moments, to be great. So it can't just be that he's a game manager. He has to be able to dig deep and find special. That's the only way a true Super Bowl contender, and I think people just assume that the 2019 version of Aaron Rodgers still exists, and he'll be able to go to it whenever he needs to.
Right.
And I don't think that's true.
And you know, we got to hit a break too, but the Achilles is real for me. Like, it is the number one reason I don't believe in the Jets. That injury, for at least for other positions, is a death sentence. Running back, typically, it's a death sentence.
Yep.
Was Tekeo Spikes ever the same after he tore his Achilles with the Bills? That dude was an elite. I saw that guy as one of the best linebackers in the league and then tore his Achilles, and then it was completely different for the rest of his career. He had a career, but it was different. Rodgers had it at 40. And he's not Lamar Jackson. But what is the trademark Rodgers play in his career? It's him rolling out of the pocket and throwing the ball on the run like no one you've ever seen before. There have been some that now can like him. But there was a time where Rodgers, I thought, was the most talented quarterback I've ever seen. And a lot of it was not just what he could do from the pocket, but it was extending plays, using his legs to get out of the pocket, and then be as accurate as he is in the pocket when he's on the run. It didn't even matter. Sometimes he would be going to the left, and he could flip his hips around. He could whip a ball 50 yards down the field right on the money. Can he do any of that? Have the Jets even tested it? Do they know what's going to happen when he's being chased by Leonard Floyd again? Which, by the way,
right. It will probably happen week one.
Guess who they play week one?
Yeah, San Francisco.
The Leonard Niners. Floyd. That's kind of like, I'm half joking there. Yeah. But do we know what's going to happen if Leonard Floyd is chasing him again in week one, and he's got to run? What's going to happen? Are we sure his Achilles is even fully healed? Because he said it was in, like, November last year. But then I saw video of him a month and a half ago at Jets minicamp limping around.
Yeah.
and sitting down on a chair having his trainers look at the back of his ankle. That was a month and a half ago. Everything goes through an NFL filter with these teams, right? They're not going to let you know exactly what's happening. If Rodgers' Achilles was still injured, would we know?
No. Probably not.
Like, I'm just not, I'm not, I don't want to bet on him being the same player.
I don't want to bet on him having to be the same player he was 3 years ago.
3 years ago, right. Right.
At 40.
Let alone even, maybe even 2 years ago.
Yeah.
803-0550 is the phone number. The Jets are the betting favorite right now to win the AFC East. College football starts tomorrow. Let's talk some college football a little bit over the course of the rest of the show. We got a new 12-team playoff format. I think Nate's excited about Notre Dame. Also, I think he's got me in 30 seconds. He made one comment to me right before we went to break. He has me a little more intrigued about UB than I thought I was going to be for the season. I'll tell you why quickly when we come back. Jody Biasi, Nate Geary, this is WGR. So college football starts tomorrow. Florida State and Georgia Tech, 3 o'clock in Ireland. Noon. Maybe it's 3 o'clock Ireland time.
Maybe. Yeah, it's got to be later than that. I think it's 7 o'clock Ireland time. I think it's a night game there.
Georgia Tech versus, not Notre Dame, Florida State. Tomorrow at noon. Yeah. Noon Eastern. So UB doesn't play till next week, but Nate mentioned before we went to in our last break, CJ Ogbonna, now the starting quarterback. I mean, you said he's Lamar Jackson.
Well, said he's like Lamar Jackson.
He's like, so what does that mean? He runs?
He's got some swag. He can move.
I did look him up. He's from Georgia, 3-star recruit, freshman quarterback, is going to start for UB. He is 6'3" and can run. Like, all right, I'm interested.
Yep.
I'm really interested. We'll see. You're telling me 6'3", 200 pounds, can run,
moves.
Like,
yeah.
And maybe grows an inch or two. All right, give me a couple years. That'd be cool. College football starting tomorrow. Florida State, Georgia Tech, the big one. And then Hawaii at midnight. When we come back, Brian Mazurowski just asked a really interesting question on Twitter that I want to get to on the stadium, which will be at tomorrow. Or some of us will be at tomorrow. 1 o'clock tomorrow against the Carolina Panthers. Jody Biasi, Nate Geary, Jeremy White off today. This is WGR.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.